Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله وجمع مبارك ورمضان مبارك. الحمد لله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. المال وَبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عَمَلًا صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the 46th verse of Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18 or Surah 18. An expression of it is: the wealth and children are adornments of the life of this world, but the enduring good deeds are better with your Lord as a source of rewards and better as a source of hopes. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. A hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu, he said, two men from Bali came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They both became Muslims at the same time, but one of them used to strive harder than the other. The one who used to strive harder went out to fight and was martyred. The other one stayed a year longer, but then he passed away. Talha said, I saw in a dream that I was at the gate of paradise, and I saw both of these men. Someone came out of paradise and admitted the one who had died last, meaning he, the one who died last, was invited in first. Then someone came out and admitted the one who had been martyred the year before. Then he came back to me and said, "Go back, for your time has not yet come." The next morning, Talha told the people of that, and they were amazed. News of Talha's dream reached the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they told him the story. He said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, "Why are you so amazed at that?" They said, "O Messenger of Allah, the first one was the one who strove harder, and he died as a martyr, but the other one was admitted to paradise before him." The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked, "Did he not," that is the one who went in first, "did he not stay behind for a year?" They said, "Yes." He said, "And did not Ramadan come, and he fasted, and he offered such and such prayers during that year?" They said, "Yes." The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "The difference between them is greater than the difference between heaven and earth." Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are speaking to the reminders of the rewards for fasting and Ramadan. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another report, he said, "There is nothing equal to fasting as a means to paradise." And he says, "The blessings of fasting in the month of Ramadan are greater than the blessings of fasting at other times. During Ramadan, everything good is magnified and multiplied." I had a thought, and no doubt so of you as well, that what should be the case of panhandlers right now in a place where there are many, many Muslims? There are Muslims, or any Muslim for that matter. And you have, we know we have homeless encampments just strewn all across the city. We don't have to go far at all. Just go right there, right there. 40, whatever, 46, you know, when you drive by, you see. So many other places. On the other side of the, on the other side of that ramp, when you go over that ramp on Hegenberger, where people used to come and they would have the Raiders, what do you call them, before the football game, whatever that is. Tailgate. Now, you go over there now, and it's a whole community. And the governments, in so many ways, have sort of accepted, not sort of, actually accepted, that, right down here on Foothill, right? Foothill, right there at 55th, where that auto junk place is, whatever, right across the street from there. I'm saying it's right here in our neighborhood. And then, of course, the grocery stores and other places that we go every day, somebody, you jump freeway, just about every freeway exit, you got somebody standing there with a card, saying anything will help, and whatever, a homeless vet, and all those things. We see all those things. So there is no lack of places where a Muslim can go and give sadaqah. And it doesn't have to be just because, well, I need to make up for the fast that I'm not able to keep because I'm sick or this and that. No, just anyway. We're going to say more about it. But I'm thinking about all those represent opportunities for a Muslim to max out, benefit from cash in on, however you want to say it, take advantage of an opportunity to get rewards for doing good in this month like no other. So there should be, whether they know it or not, whether those people who are homeless and whether those people who are panhandlers, whether they know it or not, inshallah, maybe if more Muslims just targeted those groups and that group of people with their charity, maybe that spirit will pervade that whole community. It's like, even if they don't consciously know, what is this? Why is this happening? But the fact is that the spirit of the month and the spirit and the intention of what Allah intends for those people who suffer, and that's their everyday life. Some of the people, they don't live better than the dogs that's walking with them. The dog is walking with them. They walk with them. They walk with the dog. The dog waiting for the one he's walking with to give him some food. And the one who's walking is waiting for some human being to give them some food. Who can exist in the world and have something in their pockets give to those people in that situation? So I'm just saying, Ramadan is a month where panhandlers should be happy that it's Ramadan. You know what I'm saying? I mean, get to the point where, inshallah, if Allah bless us to really renovate and change the whole thing, but even get to the point where panhandlers say, it must be Ramadan, man. Somebody gave me $20 twice, man. It must be a Muslim. You Muslim? Yeah. So we want to raise that atmosphere to such that that consciousness is there even among, and maybe even especially among the poor, inshallah. So we've talked about fasting, and we've crossed over the bridge between the difference between fasting in regular times and fasting in the month of Ramadan. And that's a separation, a distinction that we want to make, because Allahu A'lam, I don't know. I know I don't. This is not confession, and I'm not worried about saying it. It's like, I don't fast in every month other than Ramadan, right? So, but then what's that? If y'all allow me to use some urban language, you know, hey, you leave money on the table, homie. You leaving money on the table, because the reward of the faster is magnified. That's even in other times. In Ramadan, we'll go on to continue to speak to that. So last week we talked about, reminded that the sunnah, when you make the sunnah in Ramadan, they become valued as though you were doing the fard at any other time. And when you do the fard during Ramadan, the obligatory, what you're obligated to do during Ramadan, the reward for that is multiplied 70 times over the farad. We get a slip, Freudian slip, right? That's the joke only for some who get it. So over the fard of other times, remember this, brother and sister, the reward for the good deeds done while the person is fasting during non-Ramadan days is multiplied 10 to 700 times. That is, okay, Ramadan came to us in, quote-unquote, April on the solar calendar. Let's go back to February, right? Were we fasting, or whoever fasted in February, and they did good deeds in February, that good deed was multiplied 700 times and more. That's during non-Ramadan times, right? 10 to 700 times more. But when it comes to fasting itself, let me slow down. Fasting, that's the act, right? Doing good deeds while you're fasting. That's 10 to 700 times. That's doing good deeds while you're fasting, right? Now, when it comes to when it comes to just doing good deeds, if you're just doing good deeds during regular times and you're not fasting, I don't know what's going on. Maybe I didn't have my coffee today or something. All right. It's a regular month. And you're just doing good deeds, regular month. Doing good deeds and you're not fasting. Okay? Just doing good deeds and you're not fasting. That is multiplied 10 to 700 times. Good deeds, not fasting, any other time, 10 to 700 times for that good deed. Now, here's the switch. But when you fast, it's multiplied, non-Ramadan, good deed, and fasting. Now you, that's blown up. Not Ramadan yet. It's just good deeds while fasting outside of Ramadan. Outside of that. Now, what's the reward? If just straight good deeds 700 times, and then in Ramadan, pardon me, then when you're fasting, God puts this to us. This is just fasting. It's fasting. Except for fasting. Meaning, you're fasting, you do good deeds. While you're fasting, let me put it straight. This is much for me as it is for you. While you're fasting, God said, don't worry about that. Don't try to count that. You can't count what I do for that. So count up the other stuff. But when a person fasts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person fasts, he fasts for me. Other things can be done, being seen or whatever, and most other good deeds that you do, somebody's going to see them. So there's a difference in that. But fasting, the only one who really knows that what is happening with the faster is Allah. And if they are doing it for Allah's sake, and Allah knows that they are doing it for Allah's sake, Allah said, I got that. You can't count it. So we can't even put the 10 to 700 number on just fasting. He didn't say, but the one who fasts Ramadan, that's for me. No. The one who fasts in February, I'm just stay with what I've said already. That one. When is that available? When is that available? It's available all year. It's available all year. Fasting is done for me, so I reward it accordingly. So I say one more time. Don't forget that everything that we've said, these are the rewards for fasting outside of Ramadan, not in Ramadan. Now, Aisha, radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet would exert himself in worship during Ramadan unlike any other time. And in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, more so than any other. We want you and we want to think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what was his state and what was his temperament, demeanor, disposition, his uswa, literally, in Ramadan. So we ask the question, why? Why? And you can think about, as was said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would spend long nights in praying, and he said that he asked for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at least 70 times a day. And the people asked him, you've been forgiven the sins of the past and the sins of the future. He said, shouldn't I be grateful? Shouldn't I be grateful? So the prayer is to just thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. That's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we ask further, is there something else? You remember when we spoke about the Prophet's fast on Mondays and Thursdays? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that your deeds are shown to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays. And I want my deeds, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want my deeds shown to Allah while I'm fasting. Answer to why he fasted on Monday and Thursday. It's not just the sunnah, but what's the uswa, i.e. the reason, the emphasis, the strategy, the logic. Why? Because he knows, I won't even say he believes, he knows that our records are shown to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays, and he said, I want my record shown while I'm fasting. Because there's a goodness in fasting like no other goodness. Now, the Prophet exerting himself even more in worship during Ramadan, asking the same question, and here's a report that very strongly gives us some idea on why. Ubaidah bin Samit, radiallahu anhu, he narrated that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ramadan has come to you. It is a month of blessing in which prayers in it, pardon me, in which Allah covers you with blessing. For he sends down mercy, decreases sins, and answers prayer. This is what's going on in Ramadan. In it, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah looks at your competition in good deeds and boasts about you to his angels. So show Allah goodness for yourselves. For the unfortunate one is he who is deprived in Ramadan of the mercy of Allah, the Mighty and the Exalted. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Hadith of Jibreel, right? The Hadith of Jibreel, it fundamentally, in his latter questions, and what is ihsan? Ihsan is to worship Allah as though you are seeing him. But even though you won't reach the ability to see him, know that he's seeing you. So the Prophet, that's a reality for the Prophet. That's a reality for the Prophet. In his consciousness, et cetera, and we're seeking to strive to get that same kind of solidity in terms of our conviction about faith and acting as though we are seeing Allah, but certainly acting with an awareness that Allah is observing us when we act. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, he's modeling it for us, but he's also living it for himself. Y'all know what's going on? You know Allah is looking at what you're doing? And he's rewarding accordingly, and he's boasting to the angels about those who are doing good in Ramadan while they're fasting? Oh, yeah. I'm going to be number one. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just think about it. You got a team on the court or the field, whatever. Choose your sport. Doesn't matter, but it's got to be a team sport. So you're there, and you see that one that's energetic. I'm not going to name nobody because everybody got their favorites in there. You know, it's NBA season right now. So you choose who you are. I like Kyrie right now. Mashallah. Right? I don't know if y'all know why, but it's all good. Alhamdulillah. When he rocks, he's like showtime. He's like showtime. Now, there's some good folks out there with some serious handles, but when you see him doing what he do, it's like you pay attention, right? Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's watching the competition in good deeds. This is what Allah tells the believers. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Compete with each other in doing good deeds. Ramadan is a month of competition between the believers. get the chip during Ramadan? You going to get the MVP during Ramadan? You going to be on the All-Star team during Ramadan? You going to be all offense? You going to be all defense? What you going to be? Where's your place? You going to get a jersey? What's up? Because Allah is watching. Now, imagine Allah seeing if someone like, I do a little bit. Alhamdulillah. Where's breakfast? You think Allah is trying to really, really see that one? He wants to see that one that's putting in that energy and that work. Except that's what's going on in the month of Ramadan. And so the Prophet, in his exerting himself during Ramadan, is a sign of how we, or rather an example of how we all should see this. So be in the world with an awareness that there's reward being gained that may not seem so big, and maybe in some cases, for depends on the individual, not felt as rewarding as it actually is. But that is a terrible loss for the one who doesn't. I'd like to share a story with you. I call it The Rich City Beyond the Three Valleys. It was a beautiful day, and the young man was walking along the path, admiring the wonderful scenery. He had embarked on his journey to the rich city that lie beyond the three valleys. Many people in his village would talk about this rich city, but no one had ever gone to it ever and returned to confirm the stories of its greatness. When the young man arrived at the first valley, it was a picture to behold. The grass was much greener than the grass in his old village, which was now a day's walk behind him. The valley had a small stream running through it, and there were many flowers on its banks, and they were pretty flowers, bright pinks and reds, with fantastic fragrances. He sat down, opened up his knapsack, and took out some bread and cheese and enjoyed a simple lunch in these beautiful surroundings. While he ate, he wondered about the rich city he was going to. After his lunch, he got up and continued on his long journey. As night fell, he reached the edge of the second valley, but it was too dark for him to appreciate its beauty. So he opened his knapsack, took out a blanket, and settled down for the night. As he slept, he dreamed about the rich city and how much better his life was going to be by moving there. It was a long and pleasant dream. When the sun rose the next morning, he could hear the chorus of birds in nearby hedges and trees. The young man stretched, put away his bedding, let his eyes drink in the splendor of the second valley, and it was even more fertile and colorful than the first valley. He walked to the edge of a small river and saw that there were fish in it, so he caught one for his breakfast. After he cooked and ate the fish, the young man went across the river and continued his journey. A few miles down the path, he saw an old man in a deep sleep on the side of the path. He asked the man if he needed any help. The old man was very weak, but he gave the young man a short reply. "I'm beyond help, but I'll give you some advice, though. Before you cross the next river, collect as many stones and pebbles as you can." The young man was puzzled by this advice, and he turned to ask the old man why. But he couldn't get an answer because the old man had fallen back into a deep sleep. The young man continued his journey. As he walked, he wondered, "Why should I collect stones and pebbles?" As he thought of many possible reasons, he noticed two or three little pebbles in his path, so he bent down and picked them up and put them in his pocket. And since it was a long road, every now and then he would stop and pick up a few more stones and pebbles. His pocket began to get very heavy, and he had no idea how much further he had to walk. It was such a long journey. So he decided that, well, one pocket full of stones and pebbles, that's enough. And he didn't want to tire himself out by carrying too many more. Hours later, he reached the third valley, and it was even more beautiful and abundant in growth than the second valley, and there was an even wider river running through it. The river was not very deep, perhaps about waist high, but the current of the river looked very strong. The young man braced himself, crossed the river. He struggled against the current, almost slipping on two occasions, which had he had done so, he would surely have been washed away and drowned. He finally clambered up the bank on the other side of the river. He rested there for a while and then continued his journey. After an hour or so, he put his hand in his pocket and realized that he still had his pebbles. He pulled one of them out from his pocket and could not believe his eyes. They had all turned into precious jewels. The young man wished he had filled all of his pockets and his knapsack with more stones and pebbles. Imagine how rich he would be, he thought. But it was pointless to go back all the way and to try to cross the river again. It would be a waste of too much time, and also he could possibly drown trying to cross the river. So he traveled on to the city that he had journeyed to, and in the city he found that not only were there rich people there, but there were many people who were very, very poor. They were poor because they didn't heed the advice of the old man on the side of the road. See, brothers and sisters, stones and pebbles in the story, they are like the good deeds that we can do while fasting, whether it be in Ramadan or not. The good deeds that we do while fasting in Ramadan, they are those little pebbles. Where in this world, that good deed, you may not sense the immediate impact of that good deed, but with Allah, the one who rewards and the one who says, fasting is for me and I will give the compensation for it. That's how we have to value the good deeds that we do while fasting in the month of Ramadan. It is earning and adding to our account with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I'm sure you understand that great rich city is the life that comes after this life. And what we do in this life is what will provide our provisions and our state afterwards. رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ آمين اللهم آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. So those stones and pebbles in the story are like the good deeds we do in this life. They may seem small to us now, but they will have their greatest redemption in the life that comes after we cross the great river that divides the barrier between this life and the next. And the stones and pebbles that we pick up during Ramadan are even more precious and greater in value than those we pick up at other times. Speaking of small things that have great impact, the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, truly a man utters a word to which he attaches no importance, and by those words, he falls into the fire of Jahannam. The Prophet says, you can say something offhanded, not attaching any significance to it, but that thing could be the thing that takes you to hell. There's another report. I don't think I have it here today, and I won't. I want to give it its full richness, so when I have the opportunity, I will share it. What I want to point to, again, where Aisha radiallahu anha said, she said, how the Prophet exerted himself during the month of Ramadan, and I explained, inshallah, that this is a part of the reasoning why. Because Allah is watching us in our competition, and Allah is awarding us, rewarding us, favoring us, blessing us, forgiving us in this great month of Ramadan. Allah is boasting to his angels about his sincere servant. You, your name, I want you to think about it. Think about it. Think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying your name. Look at him. Look at her. Yeah, yeah. Say your name. We want to say Breonna Taylor's name. Say her name. And Allah got her, mashallah, Allahu alam, alhamdulillah. What about you and me? You want Allah to say your name? Then why you fast? Do good deeds in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while we may not have the sense of it, by Allah's grace, Allah does give you a sense of it. Because when the believer gets to paradise, they say, ah, this is like what we tasted before. So Allah does give you a taste of what's coming. This world doesn't have the wherewithal to really, excuse those little giggles, it's like, It is beautiful, mashallah. So let me go on and stop entertaining myself and then share this with you. You know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, there are two occasions of joy for the fasting person. When he breaks his fast and when he meets his Lord. I have to say this, brother and sister. Think about your birthday. Think about your birthday. You might think you've been here for a long time. And in relative terms, yeah, some of us have been here for a long time in relative terms. But now I want you to think about before your birthday. Before your birthday. And how long the universe existed. Not telling you, you're talking about you can limit it to the earth. Go do a little Google search and say, how old is the earth? Just do that. Okay? So start from there. So the age of from the age of the earth to your birthday, how long is that? Now, did it feel like a long time? You have no awareness of it. All we know is that poof, here I am. And we didn't know that until like 3 or 4 years after we were here. That's right. I know we got people, yeah, when I was 2 years old, okay. Hold on to that. If it works for you, that's good. But no. Scientifically speaking, they say that we are up to the age 6. We are in what you call a hypnagogic state. A state where all we're doing is downloading. I know you hear that 5-year-old, you hear that 6-year-old saying this, doing that, et cetera, and you think they're conscious because they're using words, et cetera. No, they're not conscious in the way that you and I understand conscious, such that the retention of the memories and all those kinds of things, but things are being downloaded in their experience from their environment. The word infant actually is a French word that means without speech, enfant, without speech. And you stop being an infant when speech stabilizes. When a person, human being, has a stable speech pattern, 7 years old is the time frame. So what's going on in the first 6 years? First 6 years, hypnagogic state. All right. So what I'm saying is that we don't really become a conscious being
until like 6 years after we're here. We came into existence on our birthday, which is so many hundreds of millions of years after the earth itself was born. You talk about the universe, you got to start talking trillions. I'm asking, how did that feel? Man, that was a long time. Whew, glad I finally got here, man. Shoot, man, I got tired of waiting. No, you show up, boom, that's it. You lay down and go to sleep. You wake up, man, what time already? Man. Trying to get us to hear this. Mike, I'm telling you absolutely where this comes from. When I had my heart surgery, I had inquired with Imam Wazir. Some of you heard it before. Mashallah, I'm a vet, so I get to repeat stories, okay? So when I asked her, because I had never been under anesthesia. I said, well, how is it going to be? So my old idea was, you know, they have their little gas mask and then they, you know, you've seen movies. You know, then light fade to black, right? So he says, how it's going to go is this. They said they're going to start and they're going to ask you to count down from 10. He said, by the time you get to 8, you'll be waking up again. And that's exactly how I experienced it. I looked at the, sure I didn't mute my Facebook, folks. So they have this IVs now, right? So it just, you know, so I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm seeing it go in. And then, okay, then it's lights out, right? Then the next thing that's happening is that they're pulling these tubes. Because they had to wake you up to get that happening, right? So they can put you back under, but they had to wake you up. Mr. Shue, so they pull it in. And it's like, I hope it's not too graphic for you. I mean, mashallah. Okay. It was me that actually woke up. Yeah, Mr. Shue, so your eyes open up. You do that, and then, and I don't know how many days later it was. I don't know, and that's my point. Don't know how many days later that, okay, you're being woke up for, quote unquote, the last time to continue the rehabilitation, everything else that goes with that. And the message to me is that's how death is. One moment you're alive, one moment you pass from this life, and moments from that, it can be a trillion years. Are you hearing me? We've already been through decatrillions of years before we got here. Been through it. That means when life ends for us here, right after that, you got on your books the day you die. That's what you got. And read in the Quran where it says, oh, if we had a little while longer, then we go back and we do more. See, he's like the guy that crossed the river. Too late now, you crossed the river. The only thing you got is what you brought with you, the good deeds. And so we go back to the opening verse that we started with, where it says, wealth and children are the adornments of this world's life, but the enduring good deeds, they are best with your Lord as sources of reward and better as source of hopes. Give yourself more hope for being in a good condition on that going to sleep, I'll call it. Sleep is the brother of death. Going to sleep and waking up, need to fill your pockets, man. Need to fill your pockets with some good deeds. You need to not, we need to not give them second thoughts. Don't give them second thoughts. Look, I'm going to do this. I'm stacking. You talk about stacking? Stack that. There are too many people in the world that need what we've been blessed with. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran regarding what we're speaking to. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse 43, God says, and we will remove whatever was in their breast of resentment while flowing beneath them are rivers. And they will say, praise be to Allah who has guided us to this. And we would never have been guided if Allah had not guided us. One point on that. What makes you so good? Well, I knew God was going to get me. What about all the other people you know that were just like you? Probably did less wrong than you. But they don't have Al-Islam, and you do. That's the grace of Allah. So it says, we would not have been guided if Allah had not guided us. Certainly, the messengers of our Lord, they continue, came with the truth. And God says, and to the believers, it will be declared. This is paradise, which you had become the inheritors of because of what you used to do. What's your Ramadan tradition of good deeds? You used to do always, I always did that. Fi sabilillah, right? Also, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking to the group of believers, he said, he asked them, he said, shall I not guide you to the gates of goodness? They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, fasting is a shield. Charity extinguishes sin as water extinguishes fire. And a man's prayer in the middle of the night. Ask yourself, put yourself in a situation where you're praying, nobody's watching you, and you're not doing it for show. You're doing it with sincerity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah sees you, and you can know in your heart, in your situation, this prayer is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for my wife, not for my husband, not for my children. This is for me, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the prayers in the middle of the night, and then the Prophet recited Surah Sajda, the ayah 16 and 17, and he said, it is those who forsake their beds to cry unto their Lord in fear and hope and spend of what we have bestowed on them. They are the one for whom no soul knows what is kept hid for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. See, the point is that we're building up our account right now, every day. And there is no month like Ramadan. It's like, you know, just think about your year past. Think about how you might be a little short. You know, you ever got to the counter and you started counting the money? And you say, man, I'm a little short. Well, that's one counter that you don't want to get to and be a little short. Well, the way to make sure, by Allah's grace, you're not a little short, max out Ramadan with good deeds, prayers, charity, mashallah. Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm, lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard, man dhal-ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi-idhnihi. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسيع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو عالي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. We thank you for blessing us to live to see another Ramadan. We thank you for blessing us to have the faith and the willingness and the commitment to fast during this very precious and sacred month. Oh Allah, bless us to carry out our deeds in the best of ways. Oh Allah, perfect our deeds of good. Perfect our prayer for us. Perfect our understanding of your revelation. Increase us in knowledge of this religion that you have completed for us and that you have favored us with. Oh Allah, bless us not to take for granted your mercy, your graces, your forgiveness. Keep us ever grateful, ever appreciative, and ever seeking to earn more by way of obeying the model that you have set before us in Muhammad. And we say, may the prayers and the peace and blessings be upon him. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah, let's make a couple of announcements and then we'll make salah, inshallah. Of course, Islamic studies from 9 to 11, always the Zoom ID. You can, if you want to get on and you don't have it, you can just see me after or get a newsletter and it's on the front. Also, and that's Children's Islamic Program for ages 6 to 13. Every Tuesday, and yes, every Tuesday, we have excellent teachers, Dr. Zaid and Teacher Zainab, et cetera, both teachers in the Mali Institute as well. Also, you can see Dr. Peters at mshspeters@gmail.com to enroll students. Also, the NAS Youth Business Loan Program for Meshawarthian youth ages 9 to 18. They can apply for interest-free business loans to start building a business. And we're also in need of loan sponsorships so that we can make donations, and you can make donations to Meshawarthian. Again, contact Dr. Peters on that. Also, tonight, the iftar, alhamdulillah, is sponsored by Zainab Vegan Delights. And let me put it in the hood. It's like, don't get it twitted. Don't get it twitted. You know, she makes that. You know, some of y'all, you know, you omnivores, you carnivores, it's like, no. She said, don't let the smooth taste fool you. She'll hook you up. He said, what? You mean it ain't no meat in there? Get that. Get with that. I give you my word on that. Alhamdulillah. So this is Zainab's Delight, and this is also tonight and tomorrow, iftar, tonight and tomorrow. Also, then we come back. May 4th, New Africa Kitchen will be sponsoring, and then May 7th and 8th, Samia. We sometimes tend to call her Little Samia because we got two Samias. But she's a little atom. Is everywhere. So 7th and 8th, she'll be sponsoring. And then we're back to New Africa Kitchen on the 9th. No details for right now, but mashallah, we will have Laylatul Qadr. We'll get the details later in-house. As well on that. Also, so the $100, we want 100 people to give $100. MashaAllah, we're seeking 100 sponsors to give $100. This is annual, every year. Each one is to underwrite the cost of our 2021 Eid celebrations. And even though it's not going to be the landed in-house kind of celebration, we're still looking to blow our young children's minds in the best way. We want them to have the best memories about Eid. We want them to always want to look forward to Eid. If they don't remember anything else, they need to know. Is it Eid yet? That's how we want them coming, like that. And to do that, we have to make sure that we give them gifts and experiences to remember during this very special time. Okay? So there will be a Ramadan session somewhere on the 25th, the 23rd, 25th of Ramadan night. Don't have details, but inshallah, look forward to that as well. Happy anniversary to Carlos and Shirley Ali, April 30th. Alhamdulillah, this is that day. Praise be to Allah. Congratulations. And also we have the Tariq Shabazz, Warisuddin Taha, Glenda Najim, and Medina Taha. They both have birthdays. Well, they all have birthdays in April as well. And coming up tomorrow's beginning of May, right? So we have Tariq Ali Shahid and Samaya Green. Their birthdays are coming up on the 1st. Also, tomorrow, 10 to 3, Masjid al-Warathin, monthly yard sale. You can text Yolanda Shuaib for information on that. And brothers, this is an opportunity to do a good deed. Come out, set up, help set up the canopies. so that the sales and everything can happen, and then be there to secure and also break down the event. Don't leave it on the one or two who have demonstrated their willingness to do so. All right. Stones and pebbles. Khalilah Marie Muhammad, and we, our condolences, whose father passed away, well, that was yesterday. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Alhamdulillah wa akim as-salat. لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله استووا استقيموا يرحمكم الله. Still keep the plane even between you and the person next to you. The straightness was really the biggest thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the lines be straight. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Ad-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim Sirat Al-Ladhina An'amta Alayhim غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم جحر ما يخفى ونيسرك ليسرى فذكر إن نفعت ذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبكى إن هذا لفي صحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ذكر الله سبحان الله. الحمد لله. الله أكبر. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. تقبل الله. بسم الله. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.